From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays, a weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, director of St. Mark's. Welcome.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestors.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the one God, the Holy Trinity, amen. Please be seated. It was just another hot, steamy summer day in Houston, and I was running errands. I pulled up to the Goodwill Donation Center at Kirby and Bissonnette, where for years I've been dropping off my boys' gently used but already too short pants and already too small shoes, along with other household items no longer needed. But on that day, instead of the usual friendly greeting, there was a less than enthusiastic reception. Without hesitation, in a serious tone, an employee informed me, "We can take one bag, but not two." My why turned into whoa when I saw what was behind them, just beyond the partition wall. Donations were stacked wall to wall and floor to ceiling. I had never seen anything like it. "Oh my, what's happening?" The employee replied, "I'm not sure, but people have been showing up suddenly with a whole lot of stuff." "Interesting," I said as I handed her one bag. I returned several months later with the other bag. Things were back to normal at our Goodwill, I'm happy to say. A friendly employee cheerfully accepted my donation as I inquired, "So what happened this summer? Did you get any insight into that situation?" With a chuckle, she said, "As folks were coming by with truckloads of donations, I kept hearing, 'Marie Kondo, Marie Kondo, Marie Kondo.' I didn't know what they were talking about, so I Googled it." As some of you know, as I can tell by your laughter, Marie Kondo is the author of a little book entitled "The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up: The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing." Published almost a decade ago, Her book became a bestseller, and her method enjoys a wide following, including in our part of town, apparently. Goodwill employees can attest to that. And according to Google, the summary of Marie Kondo's method is this: focus on what you want to keep, not what you want to get rid of. Ask yourself if something sparks joy, and suddenly it becomes so much easier to understand if you really need it in your home and in your life. To order your life, Marie Kondo is asking you to make judgments. And so is John the Baptist in the Gospel of Matthew. This is the second week of Advent and the second week of the new church year, as priests know as Year A, in which Matthew is the featured gospel. Yes, we'll hear some John during Easter, but be prepared. It's going to be Matthew, Matthew, Matthew all year long. And judgments loom large in Matthew, often described in terms of decluttering and organizing efforts. Whether it's the eschatological sorting of sheep and goats or the burning of chaff, there's just no way around it. Judgment continually confronts us in Matthew, beginning with the shouts of John the Baptist on the bank of the River Jordan today. So instead of ignoring it or whistling past, let's look at it straight on. Divine judgment can be anxiety-producing because many of us have only thought about it from someone else's controlling and fear-mongering perspective. For me, this conjures the memory of my junior high friend's youth minister from a denomination that will remain nameless. This minister told me that I was going to hell for listening to pop music, if you need to know. Not only did I think this was incredibly rude, more importantly, I knew it was theologically untrue. I looked her in the eye and said, with the confidence that came from having spent every Sunday of my life in the Episcopal Church and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, "No, I am not going to hell. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever." Many years later, I wanted to say the same to the fellow on the free speech lawn at University of North Texas who informed students every Thursday morning of our eternal damnation. We were chaff to be burned, no mention of God's love for us. These are unproductive and hurtful approaches that leave believers and unbelievers alike to avoid and even dismiss the topic of judgment altogether. What makes John the Baptist hard for us to hear today and all other passages about judgment to come? And not having ears to hear can mean missing the good news found within these same scriptures. So here are a couple of things for us to get clear about today and in the days ahead of Matthew, Matthew, Matthew. First, to use the admittedly unorthodox Marie Kondo frame on this topic, in God's eyes, you spark joy. You do. You spark joy for God. There's no elevator down for you because Christ won't have it. He's all about keeping you. He went to the cross to prove God's undying love for you and for me and for all. Whether Augustine is right about original sin or contemporary theologians are right about original goodness, either way, the fact remains that you are God's beloved and you spark joy in the heart of God. And for that reason, God came to live among us and sent the Holy Spirit to be with us now. As early church theologian Athanasius explained, in the incarnation, God became human so that humans could become divine. In other words, you spark joy and saving action in God. Second, judgment serves a diagnostic function in the Gospels. Like a wise doctor advising a patient, the problem or illness is identified so that the cure can be applied, resulting in life and health. The loving physician wants you to be well. So judgment is always paired with calls for repentance and amendment of life, because that's the goal, abundant life in Christ in this life and the next. It's not about opportunity for punishment. As Christians, we know God best through Jesus, and he never turned anyone away. So come to him, and as John says, bear fruit worthy of repentance, for it leads to life. And here's an important wrinkle in all this. Sometimes we have old behaviors and old thoughts that served to protect us and keep us safe in the past, but they no longer help us now. In fact, those old behaviors can frustrate or block our ability to accept God's love, believe we spark joy for God, and prevent us from having meaningful connections and relationships now. Again, borrowing from Marie Kondo, thank those behaviors for their service, and then discard them. Or begin the work of discarding them with God's grace, for they no longer serve you, and they are not part of God's dream for you. For God's desire is to embrace us with love today and for eternity. A clean sweep of sinful and unhelpful clutter in our lives allows us to truly receive the goodness and joy Christ brings. You spark joy in God. Order your life and make judgments that reflect this reality. Allow it to direct your ways with God's grace. Declutter and tidy your heart for the ultimate joy that comes in Christ at Christmas. Amen.
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.